Well, good luck finding Dunlap or Mac, as they've just run out of the studio, and they're leaving me alone. I'm not sure if I can stand the pressure. There was a fan morning show bonus poll. I love bonus polls. And it was like 83% wanted me to do the interview with Bob Berry by myself. And I'm ready to go. Bob, you ready to go?
Are you getting extra pay for this or what?
Combat pay. I told you I threatened to jump in on this interview when I saw you yesterday, and little did I know that what we would end up with. So I got some good stuff for you. Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that you and I talk about at skates and practices, we probably won't be able to bring up. But I do want to start out with some serious stuff based on last night. And you've been in this. I mean, you've probably been in every situation that you could be in where you were, you know, good hockey teams, bad hockey teams, all sorts of situations. Last night, this is a fragile team right now with the Penguins. They have a 3-0 lead. Everybody's feeling great. And then all of a sudden, after two periods, it's 3-3. Maybe can you take us in? I know you weren't there, but can you take us inside that locker room and what the mentality must have been like with the Penguins looking like everything was great, and then all of a sudden it could have been like a here we go again mentality?
Yeah, it's tough, and you're grasping at straws. Sometimes you're looking around the room waiting for your buddy to make the play instead of looking in that mirror and taking the bull by the horns. I mean, ultimately, it's going to take everybody playing their best hockey, and it doesn't have to be. We're not asking for guys to do anything that they weren't brought here to do. When you go to that dance, bring what got you to that dance, and a lot of players bring a lot of different things to the table. So I think ultimately the Penguins needed to have that second intermission to kind of regroup. You could sense how fragile things were there, and it looked like the next goal was going to go Colorado's way. I mean, you're watching the game, the shots are coming from the points, Casey DeSmith making saves, then there's a backdoor play, Landeskog gets an opportunity, Casey DeSmith makes another save there, and then a puck's batted over the net. And then you think the Penguins maybe have a chance, but boy, there was a couple of tenuous situations there. I wasn't feeling too good, I'm sure the guys weren't, and they were clinging to one guy to come out and do it, and Patrick Hornquist again.
Hornquist is, I can't remember which Penguin was talking about him and said he's never, I guess it was Matt Cullen the other day, I read Josh Yeo's story in The Athletic, that he's never played with anybody quite like Hornquist. Did you ever play with a guy like that?
Yeah, I played with Dino Ciccarelli, who was a guy, who was a net front guy like that, was a fiery guy. And I remember I played against him. He was with the Washington Capitals, and you remember he scored 4 goals in a playoff game. And he got into it with Akota, he got into it with Scotty Bowman, he got into it with all the players, and he was just one of those guys. Would never stop. He was always lipping something on the ice. He was always in the goalie's face. He was one of the best ever I saw in front of the net. He weighed about 162 pounds, Dino Ciccarelli, in the Hall of Fame now. But he kind of reminds me of a fiery guy like that you could rally around. But, I think every team's got to have kind of that guy, that energy guy. You can't have enough of those guys. But I think you can't have too much of them. I mean, you can't – those guys can too many of those guys I think is too much, but we just have a sprinkling of them on this team, and Patrick Hornquist, the guys love him, everybody loves him. If he plays the game the right way, he plays it on the line, not over the line, he does what you have to do to score goals in this NHL, and he was rewarded for it last year from Jim Rutherford. And again, I don't think you win without Patrick Hornquist on your team.
Yeah, and the thing is, there are a lot of guys that are like rah-rah guys, and they'll say stuff and try to be inspirational. And Hornquist says stuff on occasion, but he keeps it short, he's brief, and he's no nonsense about it.
Well, you make a good point there, Jim, because a lot of these guys that are those energy guys or those guys that play like Patrick Hornquist are not on the top, not in the top six. The guys that are down, they don't have a lot of impact sometimes on the game. And they're, kind of the way they play can wear thin on you in some regard, and it can be too much, overbearing. He's able to have so much energy, but he's able to get on the ice, play good hard 16, 17, 18 minutes, have a real impact on the hockey game. So it's not just lip service.
Now, there was still one of the things that gets lost in all this stuff, with all the stuff that was going on last night. You mentioned Casey DeSmith, 45 shots on him, which on the surface seems like too many, but were they all dangerous shots, or were they relatively, okay, it was okay because they weren't dangerous?
No, I know. There's just a lot of dangerous shots there. I mean, you play off the shot. I mean, you see a lot of the shots. Was Ole Matta's shot a dangerous shot? No. Well, it wasn't dangerous until Brassard tipped it in. I mean, you know, all these shots are dangerous. Anytime you get pucks around the net, these guys are so talented. All the goals are scored through screens or with tips. So any shot towards the net, well, it's not dangerous until it goes in. And then it's all of a sudden it becomes a dangerous shot. So I thought Casey DeSmith was fantastic in the hockey game. Guys have done a better job boxing out and taking sticks around them. I think it's the second opportunities a lot of times that'll get you. It's that second one where a goalie makes a save, you can't control the rebound. The second one gets put in. I think the Penguins are trying to do a better job of that. I like Marcus Pettersson in his first game. I think he's got that lanky Ron Hainsey type presence to him. I think he looked like he had some hop, some quickness in his legs. I like that. I like what I saw. I know the Penguins were really pleased with what they saw last night.
Did you like what you saw from Ryan Reeves on Tom Wilson?
I don't know. Not really. You know, I don't know how an eye for an eye works in the league anymore. I mean, you could say he had it coming, but then again, it's a dirty play. It's if it's the shoe's on the other foot, Tom Wilson's getting 20 games today, so I don't really know how to really answer it or how to calculate it other than it's probably not good for the sport.
Is that more an indictment, though, of the league and the discipline and the way things are carried out or in many cases not carried out that players feel that they need to go eye for an eye?
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job in some regards, but I think they do pick and choose as well. I think it depends on the situations. A lot of times depends on the player, and nobody's going to feel any sorry for Tom Wilson here today. So, I always think these are sort of good round the table talks. You know, when we're sitting having a cold one. But I think they really have to, when they look at these things, don't look at them through different color glasses. You know, it's when you look at a goalie review, and we had another one last night, Jim. You know, you look at it, you try to look at it honestly, look at the criteria, and you judge accordingly. You don't look at, you know, who scored the goal. Oh, well it's Crosby. We're going to keep the goal, or it's not. It's a grant or something, and we'll take the goal away from them. You judge it properly. You don't look at the circumstance. You don't look at the players that are around involved in that situation, whether it's goals being allowed or disallowed, or whether it's hits being administered or not. And, you know, I just hate it. It just hasn't changed over the years. And I think that regardless of who you are, you should be forced to suffer the wrath if you go over the line.
All right, we love you between the benches. Who's your favorite opposing between the bench guy? Like when you're doing a game and somebody from another team, who do you like having between the benches with you?
Oh, between the benches with me.
Yeah.
Well, I think I like I like Ray Ferraro. He's good, you know, because I'm a little bit taller than him.
Well, I know like Panger for that reason, right?
Who?
Darren Pang.
Oh, I like Panger. Panger's, you know. Pangers, these guys are smart. These guys are good at what they do. So, you know, I appreciate having those guys down around there. Sometimes when you get those tall guys and the good-looking guys, they make you look bad. Those young, good-looking guys, you know, they're coming in with these nice dress suits and they're looking a little bit younger than you. So you got to give them a little elbow out of the way. But, you know, they're also good at protecting you. Like Jody Shelley, a puck comes in your booth, he can get in the way because he's not afraid of stepping in front of anything.
Who's your favorite Penguin? Who is like, well, as we say in Pittsburgh, Nebby. I know it used to be Matt Cook, used to always find his way down that end of the bench, trying to look at the monitor, trying to hear what you were saying. Is there anybody like that now?
You know, I like Phil Kessel down there. He's one of the best guys. You know, I don't know if he's so much Nebby, but he'll, you know, he's got a lot of different quirks. He'll sit at the end of the bench. I like the way he wears everything on his sleeve. You don't know if he's tired, if he's upset with a situation, or if he's happy. He's not. He's a guy. His body language is tough to read. You don't know if he's tired or he's just upset about a play that he made on the ice. He wears. He's such a competitor, though. That's what I like about him.
Does he talk to you, or does he just kind of say stuff like to nobody?
No, he's like. You know, he's like back in 1050 BC, he looks at you and he gives you kind of like a groan, or he gives you a head bob or something like that. So you're supposed to decipher exactly what he's saying. It's kind of like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what he's doing with some kind of body language here. I don't know exactly what it is. So, you know, I'll show him a stat. I'll point to the screen, or I'll point to me, or I'll look at the other bench. And I don't know how they do it. Mark Recchi's in charge of him now. He's got to try to figure him out. It's going to be Rick Tocchet, but I love the guy.
And then Recchi looks down the bench. Hey, Phil, your line's on the ice. You got to get out there. As long as they're not changing them. Bob, this was enjoyable. I really enjoyed this. We'll have to do this more often.
Well, anytime, Jim. You know that, and it's Chris. It's the time of giving right now. So I'm glad I could give you something.